World's on fire, our culture's disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, he's the father of deception. You know that much. He's the author of confusion, the father of deception. And I just want to confess to you as we get rolling here on the seventh day of April, 2000, whatever it is, 26. How can it be 2026? What the heck? The deception is absolutely overwhelming. I've been up an hour and a half already this morning and do a lot of research and try to connect dots, and this one follows to this one, and this one follows to this one. And I just want you to know that the deception out there is so unbelievable. And can I tell you this? The deception and the argumentation, that's not the right word, the debate within the church is paralyzing us. It's paralyzing us. What I mean by that, you go through the internet, just go Facebook, go wherever you want to. And there are those saying it's the end of times, and others saying it's not the end of times, and saying that it's the Jews this, and it's the Jews that, and it's just absolutely unbelievable confusion in what is supposed to be God's team. And can I tell you what else? Every one of them think they're right. Every one of them think they're right. Now, let me just camp here just a second. I've got some good stuff. Stay with us. What if the theology you're learning in your church is wrong? What if it's wrong? What's the theme here? Who told you that? And why should you believe him? Right? And I hope every day when you come here, you are learning to question more, not blindly accept more. Question more. Who told you that? And why do you believe him? We have a lot of people right now, you guys, you know them, you know, divide and conquer, oldest trick in the book, right? Oldest tricks in the book. Donald Trump, is it good or bad? Do we need to go bomb more? Do we not need to go bomb more? Are we doing it for Israel? We're not doing it for Israel. Tucker says this and Candace says that. The confusion is, are you with me? Somebody give me a thumbs up so you know what's going on. And that's why you know that at the heart of all of this is the enemy. It's the enemy. We don't understand. Masquerading as an angel of light is what the Bible says. See, the devil doesn't come as the devil. He comes as good. He comes dressed in good clothes. Yeah, he comes. Easter bunnies, right? Easter eggs. That glorifies the Lord. Let's get all of our family to go, and let's teach our children about the Easter bunny on Resurrection Sunday. Can somebody explain to me how Easter bunny has anything to do with Christ's resurrection? And yet churches are holding Easter egg hunts. Now, why are they doing that? We know why they're doing it. They want to draw people. And I understand that. They want to get the kids in there so that they can hear the gospel. I understand that. Really? Oh, really? Easter egg hunts? Easter egg hunts on Resurrection Sunday? If you begin to talk about Ishtar and Easter and all that, well, they just poo-poo you out of the place. But I try to stay pretty solid, pretty strong here. And I got some stuff today that you need to know. I need to know. I see all the stuff. And hey, can I tell you something? I ain't convinced that we went to the moon again. I ain't convinced of it. Call me whatever. Call me whatever. Why all of a sudden out of nowhere we'll go to the moon? When's the last time you heard anybody talk about going to the moon and all of a sudden, boom, we're going to the moon? Going to the moon. What lies, deception, and fear? Oh my. Lies, deception, and fear. Oh my. It's hard to find truth in the church, let alone outside of it. All right. I'm going to dive in here real quick. Before we do, I promised our buddy David Arthur that I'd give him a little bit of time here this morning. don't go away. Even if you don't want to hear what David's got to say, it's important that you hear what David has to say. But I got some really, really good stuff going on, man. I'm telling you, don't go away. Don't go away. I'm going to forget this. Okay. Tonight at 6 o'clock Eastern time, I'm hosting for Rob Pugh on the Wisconsin Christian News with Stuart Rhodes. So if you want to join in, listen to that at 6 Eastern time. Spencer, you're going to get me set up on all that kind of stuff, right? So you're going to take care of me. Somebody's going to take care of me. But it's a great opportunity for us to be able to host that program. I thank Rob for trusting me enough to give me the opportunity to do that. And David Arthur, I'm thinking maybe I'll do you next week. That might be good to expose next week what's going on. Because we certainly don't know what the hell's going on in the tranny cult, do we? We don't understand that. And if you think transgenderism is not of the devil, I don't know what to tell you. I don't know. Huh? Is there anything that goes more in the face of God created them male and female? Is there anything that would go in the face of that truth more than transgenderism? So it's really, really critical that we get into it, okay? So again, tonight, 6 o'clock Eastern time, I'm going to be on with Stuart Rhodes. I'm going to step, don't go away, okay? I'm going to step back here for a few minutes. I want you all to see what David Arthur's trying to get done out there. He, say what you want to about David. And he and I, we've had our talks back and forth, right? He is a freaking atomic bomb as an ex-tranny. He's an atomic bomb to that movement, friends. The atomic bomb. And I would say this publicly. David, there's a great deal of responsibility on your shoulders, dude. You'd be better to cut off your winger than to fall back into that mess. You with me, man? Huh?
Amen. Amen, coach.
Okay. So, floor is yours, brother. Go.
All right. So we went to, I wanted to say too about what you were talking about with Easter and Ishtar and all this, right? I actually was trying to talk to somebody at this library event about the spirit of Baphomet, right? The original transgender spirit. And they said, I don't want to hear about that because your own people worship Ishtar, the fertility goddess.
Is that right?
And I was just like, wow. So
and Christmas, right? We worship Christmas, yeah. Which, by the way, is the winter's equinox, right? Isn't that December 21st? Yeah. Isn't that the chain, huh? Folks, that's what Christmas pagan. Is all about.
Yeah. It's all rituals, demonic rituals. So, yep. And so so we went out there this weekend to the drag queen story time. And actually, you know what? I can sum it all up in Spencer, if you play the video A for me.
Sir David Arthur is on location, in position, and at the ready. I'm going to take a quick break. I'll take care of that, Mr. Anderson, and then we'll bring David on.
Last call with BJ Edwards. Real talk about real life.
And we're back, and we're going to bring David Arthur in. David is on location. Good morning, David. How you doing?
Hey, good morning, BJ. I'm out here gathered at the Baxter Memorial Library today in Gorham, Maine, where they are allowing a perverted man in woman face to groom children, and where you also sadly have unparents sacrificing their children to this cult. And I'm loving the sign behind me that somebody put up, and see if I can show that to you. So this is the No Queens rally. This is the No Queens rally. That's what this is. And, you know, it's just sad to watch. Just watch the parent bring her child in drag into the library. And it's sad. And it's really sickening to watch them sacrifice their children in this manner. So I just wanted to jump on real quick. Everybody's just starting to gather and just starting to show up. And I got to give a kudos and a shout out to one of the gubernatorial candidates who actually showed up. And he's out here and he's interviewing people, David Jones. So I would just say that's a plus for him. And so that's a plus for him, right?
Yeah.
He's the only one that has showed up thus far. So hopefully we'll see other candidates and even actual legislators show up. Because if you don't show up, then all you're doing is sacrificing and hurting the babies. And that's the whole goal of this. You know, there's a man, I'm not even going to say his name because it disgusts me, but his stage name is really sickening. And parents are bringing their children in there to sit them on the lap of some hyper-sexualized, perverted man. I mean, my hope is that that man could one day be saved because he's not only forgivable, he's in need of forgiveness. However, in the meantime, until we can actually reach into the flames and yank him out, we have to stop him and we have to put a stop to these types of events.
Yeah, if I profess in the loudest voice and the greatest exposition, the entire word of God, except that very point, that the world and Satan are attacking, you don't confess the word of God no matter how long you profess it.
Amen.
Where the battle rages. Where the battle rages. That's where the battle
rages. That's right. And so my only advice before I jump off of here is stand up, speak out, and push back. It's time. And if you don't stand up and you don't speak out and you don't push back, then you're just as guilty as those perverted men in there in woman face.
Boom.
For not standing up. You are sacrificing children to perversion and to deviant behaviors. So that's my message. Thank you, BJ, for having me on. Thank you, Mr. Anderson, and everybody else. Thank y'all so much. I appreciate y'all. And let's just hope that throughout today's gathering, that somebody, especially one of these unparents.
And so basically that's what was happening.
Unparent.
There,
right? Hang on a minute. Unparent.
Unparent. Like so an by unparent,
way,
right?
David, by the way, folks, I just got a new shipment of hats in. You can support Pass the Salt Ministries and being a witness, getting one of our hats. You can get them online. Go ahead, David.
Amen. So unparent. An unparent is somebody who takes their child and sacrifices their child to this perversion. Unparents, right? And so, and most of them were mothers bringing their, the one when we got there was, she had her baby in drag, her child in drag, and taking him in to sacrifice him to this cult. And
well, David, hang on a minute, David. Folks, you do understand out there, when you put your son, your daughter in public school, when they get to, let's say sixth grade, that'd be 5, 6 years. They probably will never see a male teacher.
That's right, folks.
You do understand that your little sons are being trained by women.
Yeah. Okay? And if they do see a male teacher, I can tell you what two of my male teachers did to me sometimes. Yeah. So just ask me. But I'd also like to maybe you can show that picture of the one that was actually reading stories to drag queens. I think I sent it as just a picture in the second email. But this man, hypersexualized man, goes by the name of Letta and last name D-I-C-K-E-N, Dickin. Of course, the
Letta
library,
Dickin.
Letta Dickin.
Letta Dickin.
Yeah. So the manager of the library actually said, well, you know, she changed her name for this event. So in other words, he put Letta the Queen up there just for this event. But when you look up this man, this is all you see online. Hypersexualized adult toys
in libraries. In public libraries,
sitting in the library, and people bringing their children in there to him. And I mean, what's sickening is that what a lot of people need to understand is that any man that promotes this, pushes this, encourages it, or protects it is either a pedophile or a pedo apologist. There's no middle ground there. Any man that sacrifices children to this and protects this cult is either a pedophile or a pedo apologist. There's no middle ground.
So, David, just so people out there understand, you lived this lifestyle. You're not just some guy sitting on the outside looking and said, I think this is going on, and I think you were in the middle of this. Is that right,
David? Exactly, which is why it was pretty fascinating that nobody there had anything to say to me. All of the people that were arguing with everybody that was standing up for the truth, they actually avoided any interaction with me until they figured out I was the same David Arthur that was on the sex offender registry. And that was pretty fantastic that they did figure it out when they did, because only one woman had the nerve to come up to me and say, what is your name? I said, it's David. Like, very matter-of-factly, like, you already know my name. And then she said, can I take a picture of your shirt? You absolutely can. And so they had a big sign up that they were holding, and it said, never a drag queen. And on this sign, they had all these names of conservatives and Republicans who have been accused of sexual harassment, or some that maybe have been convicted of sex crimes. And as soon as they figured out who I was, they removed the sign. They put the sign back in their car because they knew I could destroy that sign, because it is a perversion, because anyone involved in that cult is either a victim of pedophilia or a pedophile. One of the two. There's nothing else. And Spencer, maybe you could show the post that the C, I think it is. So this was a quick post or a response that I got from, if you can scroll down, from this woman that had her breasts removed. She's trying to be a man. She said, are you legally allowed to be near children? Sorry, but this is a real question. You were near my child yesterday.
So she cut off her boobs.
Yeah.
And she thinks you're the pervert, right?
Yeah. And I basically my moderator said, ma'am, David has no restrictions. You should be worried about the unregistered sex offender that was closer to children than he should be while wearing women's clothing, a cross-dresser craving an audience of children. And you want to question someone who stands up for children and exposes the darkest perversions of the LGBTQ trans queer cult? Wow. There's so many on parents out there. And so you go to the next picture, Spence, that's actually her. That's actually the woman who messaged me and wants to be a man. You just click on the arrow to the far right and you'll show her picture, Spence. There you go. There she is right there. That's her.
But you're the pervert, huh?
But I'm the perv, yeah.
See, I could do a whole film on sex registration and all that stuff. I could do a whole film on that, right?
It's crazy. But, yeah. I mean, you know, that's where we're at. And then I just like to sum it up with, like, first of all, this is the, and I've said it before, this is the most spirit-led outreach that I've ever done for this ministry. And it's luring all of those who are starving for information in. And it's also shutting up those that are out there trying to promote it.
Okay, so time out a second, Dave. Time out here. Okay, so you lived it. What causes it?
For me, it was trauma, abuse. For almost all of the ones that I know, it was trauma. It was abuse, sexual abuse, mental abuse, physical abuse, disconnect with the same-sex parent, sexualization, the grooming, and which is why now, see, back in my day, they didn't promote it like they do now. And so back in my day, you had to be physically recruited in. Nowadays, they're raping their minds, right, in the libraries and in the schools and the classrooms and all of that. And so David, I just like to...
When I was a kid, David, we called them sissies.
Called
them sissies.
Exactly.
Right? So, I just want to sum up. Still sissies, but now they have a place to hide and transgenderism.
And now they have a platform. Yeah, now they have a platform. And they have a platform that protects them because of all of the perverts that are in legislation and in the courts and in the judges' robes and all of that. But I'd like to sum it up with, if you go to B. Spencer, with just this really short clip. It says it all. And thanks for the time, Coach.
Targeting your babies. They're preying on your children. I'm telling you, from somebody who has lived it, you do not want your baby. You do not want to confirm, affirm, promote, or allow your baby to get caught up in that transgender queer cult nonsense, that indoctrination, that dysphoria, that confusion, that condition. That, see, it's a condition. If it's confusion, it's a condition. If it's a condition, it needs healing, not hormones. It needs counseling, right? Not puberty blockers, not affirmation. It needs help. I don't care if you believe it or not. When you hear it, you know it's the truth. There's something inside of you. That's why you get so angry. That's why you get so frustrated and shut it off. I'm not gonna listen to him. The hell with him. He don't know what he's talking about. That's what the babies need right now. They need reality. They need clarity. Their minds are so fogged up right now. GLSEN is the Gay, Lesbian, Straight Education Network. They'll take care of the babies. GLSEN is teaching your children that they can be gender queer, that they can be queer, that they can be gender fluid, that they can be polyamorous, that they can be non-binary, which is non-existent. They want your children to be non-existent, right? They want your children to be demisexual. They want your child to think that they can be polysexual. They want your baby and your grandchildren to think they can be gray asexual. By the way, again, asexual. Worms are asexual. We are people. We are not worms. We are human beings. We're not animals. We're not worms. We can't be asexual. It's an impossibility. Okay, we're talking about biology here. You know, if you have dogs always come in male or female, right? And when you take your male dog and you get him neutered and you get him snipped, he's still your male dog. He doesn't change into a female dog. Archaeologists for thousands of years have been digging up bodies. They've always been the remains of males or females. Hello.
Well, that's good, Dave. That's good.
Thanks, Coach. So thanks for the time. And also just anybody out there that wants to get involved. I mean, just please stand up, speak out, push back. If we don't, I mean, I was kind of disheartened to see thousands of posts about this event for the week before Saturday, and then 24 people show up. Yeah. And I'm thankful for that. And I got to tell you who most of those people were: traditional Catholics.
Wow.
Yep.
Okay, folks, listen, two things. Those of you who have contact with other podcasters or whatever, you got to get David on there, because he is telling us about the transgender movement, what nobody else will tell us. He's a nuclear weapon against him. Okay. Number two, throw him a few bucks, throw the guy a few bucks. Right. I think he's worthy of it. I think he's fighting a war that hardly anybody else is fighting. And, taking care of his mom as he's doing that. We support David Arthur here. We support him. And I've said this before. Yeah, he went down the wrong trail. We trust but verify. And what David Arthur needs is not shunned. He needs more people to hold him accountable. That's what we need to do, hold him accountable. Because those urges, whatever those things are, only by the grace of God. Hey, some of you guys out there know, if you could get away with it, you'd go screw some woman. If you could get away with it, you know you would. And so they tell us that, you know, those urges are natural. Well, whatever that orientation is, you don't go away. You don't go away. So again, we here support David Arthur. I'd suggest if you guys could throw some bucks his way, do it. All right, Dave. I look good. Cool.
Absolutely. Thanks, Coach. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you. Say hi to your mom. Jeff, come on in.
Coach, you know what's amazing? I was thinking about this over the weekend because I knew David was going there. I've talked with him. Is we started out with the Easter Bunny on Easter weekend. Then Biden has all them idiots in there at the White House. And now they're doing the drag queen story on Easter weekend. And people,
it's unbelievable, huh?
It's just evolved. You said yesterday, I told David this yesterday, you were talking about the concrete setting up.
Yep.
How it sets up.
Yep.
I said, David, I wanted to say yesterday morning that the concrete has set up. It's rock hard. These people have set the concrete for this evil. And I said, you are the jackhammer. You're going in with the jackhammer on Easter week to bust it up. But, you know, how many people really want to go fight that on Easter weekend? They don't. Well, I'm going to color eggs for my kids and blah, blah, blah.
Hey, Jeff, not only that, how would you like to, if let's say that you'd been delivered, whatever it was, you said you were an old drunk and drug, yeah, huh? Do you have any idea how hard it would be to show up at a gay pride parade or whatever and say, hey, I used to be one of those and I'm not anymore? Do you have any idea the opposition he probably faces when he goes and does that?
Yep.
Because they're all living the lie, right? They've all been convinced that they were born that way and they can't do anything about it. And here's this guy coming and say, oh, yes, you can. Come on. it's pretty amazing, really. Yeah. So we support David, but we trust and verify. How old are you, David?
53.
Mary Beth, come in.
Hi, sorry. When David, when you were talking about digging up bones, you know, they're always male and female. So, you know, like the transgender bones that they're going to dig up aren't going to be, you know, the ones that cut their, you know, their penis off, and they're not going to be a female. They're still going to be a male. I just making the point. I thought it was a good point.
Yeah, exactly. And I can say this, that they never actually cut it off. They don't actually ever change their sex. They just mutilate their genitalia. That's all. The outies become an innie, and the innies become outies. That's all.
Yeah. It's disgusting. What's your website, David? I'm sorry. I was just looking up, and I found Amazon where your book is.
They just put it in the chat.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I belong amen, right, David?
Yeah, I belong amen.
I'm on that. What the heck? I'm on it. Never mind.
I belong amen.com. Folks, thanks, Dave. The deception in our culture and our society is absolutely beyond what we can even imagine. It's beyond what we can even imagine. And until we come back to the heart of it and understand that the seed of the serpent is what's doing all this stuff. Seed of the serpent. Why would anybody, you know, one of my grandchildren was born with only one eye, I would not go out into the culture and try to get everybody to have one eye. I wouldn't do that, right? I would do everything I could to help my brother Dan, who's, you know, passed away. My brother Dan had one arm. He lost his arm in an auto accident when he was 7 months old. And I think back to my parents raising my brother Dan, who was a freak. Look, I said that in a nice way. He was a freak. What? No, you didn't see little boys with only one arm going to first grade and second grade. He was a freak. It was a freak. People looked at him. What happened to your arm, man? It was a freak show, right? He grew up his whole life like that because back then we didn't have manners. Today, if it had happened to my brother Dan, he would be a star. Because why? Because of all the things he overcame. Because of it. Played baseball, played football, played basketball, hunted deers, went fishing. He became a man with one arm, right?
We didn't go Coach, he's a star. He's a star in heaven, Coach. He's a star in heaven, though.
Anyway, you understand, folks, until we understand how culture determines everything, we're not going to understand what's going on. And that's what's happening. Boy, lighten up. I got some good stuff to get to anyway. Go ahead. Come on in, Jack.
Yeah, Alan Jackson clip that you posted yesterday was so good.
And Wasn't that good?
Oh, my word. I've been sharing that. That's one of the things that we can do. Share that to everybody in the city. That's how we make an impact. It's a little embarrassing, but that's it. That's where we are. David was down there. How far is Augusta from Gorham, David? I think it's probably only like 40 miles.
Yeah, it's only about 30, 45 minutes.
Yeah. And so I know that there are a number of pastors that are legislators, and they couldn't break away and go over there. No. I know there's eight Republican people running for governor, and only one of them candidates showed up. Something's radically wrong with this picture. So it's up to us. It's not about pointing the finger and swearing at them. It's up to us to do something about it.
That's right, brother. That's it.
And
that's
can it. I just say something to Jack? One of those candidates lives right in Gorham, and he was contacted about the event.
Name. Who lives in Gorham?
Owen McCarthy, gubernatorial candidate.
Okay, I talked to Owen. I know him. Yep.
Amen. Let's get out of main politics.
I poke him every chance I get.
Okay.
David Jones showed up, and I have some issues with David, but boy, God bless him, he showed up.
Amen. Amen.
We have our driveway. We have a snowstorm.
Really? You have a snowstorm? Well, good for you. Good for you. Campo Act. Okay, let me switch gears on because this is really, really important. I'm going to make thanks, Dave. Thanks. Hey, Dave, I got my eye on you.
Thank you for that. I hope a lot of people do.
All right. Hey, so I'm trying to work through this on my own. I kind of argued with myself as whether I should even go here today, but Betty, give me a thumbs up and I'll go there. All right. You know what we need in America? We need a death penalty. We need a death penalty. by the way, that was God's idea. You know that, don't you? God's idea was the death penalty. You guys, come on, tell me you know that. It was his idea. That human beings, some of them become so filled with evil that they cannot be rehabilitated. And you say what you want to, you get into, I'm going to go here in a second. The death penalty is biblical. It is biblical. Now, let me ask you something. What happened when all of a sudden the death penalty became unconstitutional? I haven't done any research on that. Maybe one of you right now could find out what was the Supreme Court decision that made the death penalty unconstitutional. By the way, the death penalty, the soul that sins, it shall die. I got some stuff to show you here this morning, okay? The death penalty was and is God's plan. In fact, when they hung him on the cross and the thief on one side of him said, save us when you come to your king. And the other guy said, hey, this is unjust. Huh? Save us. And what did Jesus say? We're getting exactly what we deserve. Jesus said that. We're getting exactly what we deserve. Huh? What a great opportunity for Jesus to say, oh, you're so right. The death penalty is so wrong. Oh, we've got to change it and do it. No. He says we're getting our just rewards. In fact, the one thief understood it. He said, we're getting exactly what we're supposed to get. And by the way, remember me when you come into your kingdom. What Jesus say? This day, you're going to be with me in paradise. Huh? Come on now. Why? Because in this world, we all die. Some sooner than we planned, some later than we planned, but every one of us is going to die. And there's one way through to heaven, to the next world, heaven and hell, whether we want to believe it or not, there's only one way to get there. And that's through that man hanging on that cross. It's the only way they get through it. And it was a public flogging and a public lynching to say, anybody who wants to can come. I'm dying for whoever wants to. And the greatest thing about the death penalty, it does two things. Number one, it brings justice to the one who was murdered. It brings justice to the family. And yeah, I know Confucius, one of those guys said, maybe it wasn't him, says, an eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth. We do that, everybody ends up blind. No. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. When they hung those people publicly, people said, damn, I ain't doing that. I ain't doing that. It was an example. It was an example. And when we don't put people to death through the death penalty, we spit all over the life of the people they murdered. Jesus Christ never spoke against, oh man, death penalty. I got some stuff to go to. Hang on here. Did you know Donald Trump's called for public hangings? Did you guys know that? And they call him non-Christian. Why? Why public hanging? Why public lynching? For the rest of us to be watching saying, whoop, I ain't doing that. So when somebody goes out and molests a little six-year-old boy, they just created a David Arthur, a former David Arthur, and they stole the life and the innocence of that little child, and they should forfeit their life. Now, here's a good thing. They can receive Christ. They can receive forgiveness. But they have forfeited their right to live in this natural world.
Amen.
That's the way I see it. Huh? Mm-hmm. So the innocent person got drowned, killed, molested, whatever. They get no justice. No justice because why? We're so Christian, forgiving, and loving. But they hang them on the cross. They lynch them publicly. They get a chance to repent for what they did in this world, receive Christ, and be rewarded in the next. But they have forfeited their right to be here. That's a death penalty. I can show you in the Bible. I'll get here in a second, but I want to get some of you in here real quick. Come on in, Mark. Before you do, I don't send me any emails. I understand that sometimes juries get it wrong. I understand that sometimes mistakes are made. I understand that sometimes innocent men get convicted. I understand that. But that is the system that we have. Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, I was just going to mention, you're leading back to where I was going to talk about earlier when you were saying, how do we get to this place? How do we get so complacent? All the churches, everyone. Think about the times before Noah. What was the government like that allowed everyone to become modified?
Hmm.
And, you know, what was the government like allowing Noah being the only righteous man?
That's right. Only one.
And where God had to do it, you're saying. He had to bring judgment. The men wouldn't set up way to get rid of the evil. Matter of fact, once it was over 50%, it's back to the culture, like you were saying. Once the culture accepted the Nephilim technology, that's what's going on now, is they've accepted the lie. They've accepted the deception. So now the people who don't believe it, think about the times before Noah. We're in this vicious cycle of our own demise that we do to ourselves, Coach. And God always has to clean it up. Yeah, go ahead.
So, Mark, how about this one? How about this one? Somebody kills somebody, and they give him life in prison. Mm-hmm. And now I got to pay for that? I got to pay for that?
Yeah. Over and over.
Huh? Come on, man. Real justice, right? Real justice. If you see somebody hang, I can't even imagine. If you see somebody hang, beheaded, dude, that might scare me back into doing what's right. I don't know about you guys. Remember these kind of things?
I'll say one more note on that. God hates the sin that that person did. So don't you think he is happy when he sees justice and that man hanging on the cross?
That's right.
He loves more that the news. I mean, yeah, he loves justice. So why don't we execute justice to make God happy?
Mm.
You know?
I'm with you, dude. See,
amen.
The church has become so pussified. I'm sorry. We're such pussies. Sorry, girls. We're such pussies. Christians are. Man, come on in there, Adam.
Hey, good morning. I've been doing prison ministry for 17 years now. I've been going into the same jail for 17 years. And I don't sugarcoat anything. And I've had inmates talk to me about the death penalty. And I tell them, look, there are certain things that, biblically speaking, like rape and murder, that the Bible says, you know, the death penalty is justified. It doesn't mean that you can't be forgiven, but you still have to face the consequences of your actions.
Adam, the death penalty was God's idea. Go ahead.
Amen. Amen. And so if you rape little children, if you rape women, if you murder people, exactly what you just said before, you have forfeited your life. So, you know,
and Christ will forgive you. You can be forgiven, but you're done in this world, buddy. You're done in this world.
Amen. Amen.
Because David Arthur would tell you he's carried the scars of that molestation his whole life. And not only that, has he carried those scars his whole life. Who else has he violated along the way? Right? Right? All this serious stuff. Betty.
Yes, I am for the death penalty. I've always been for the death penalty. About 25 years, I went to Japan, and we went to Tokyo, and while we were walking around in the stores, you never saw a clerk. So we were in there like a half an hour, nobody around. So I said, what do they do if somebody would shoplift something? They said, if somebody murders somebody, if they rob somebody, or for adultery, it is a public hanging. So they had basically zero crimes. I said, that's something we need in the United States.
Oh. Mercy follows justice. Meaning what? Come on now. Mercy follows justice. And what is justice? You take somebody's life, you pay with your own, then mercy is available. Mercy is available. You can receive Christ, the forgiveness of Christ. We believe in heaven and hell. We teach heaven and hell. Hey, you did something? It's going to cost you your life? Well, dude, I'm sorry. That's the wage of sin is death. However, you can go to heaven. You can still go to heaven because Christ paid that price on that cross, and you can go to heaven. But dude, you are done here. How else does somebody who's been murdered get justice? So, well, Coach, you'll never get justice. Well, no, they probably will never get justice. Probably won't. That's what, I'm all over the place. I ain't got to where I want to get yet. Joe Allen.
Well, I'll step one up. When the child graduates high school, 17, 18, he can choose what military to go into. But he go in for 3 years, and then come out. And as well as 21 years of law enforcement, I believe eye for eye. You murder somebody, you're hung.
Joseph, I couldn't agree with you more, except on this. I don't want my son going and fighting unjust wars. I agree with you, brother. If I could trust the government, I would say mandatory Army, Navy, mandatory, if you could trust the government. But I'll be damned, how many of you lost a friend in Vietnam? How many young guys went over there and got murdered in Vietnam for what? Desert Storm got killed for what? So the point is, we don't have godly government, so we can't trust government to act godly. That's kind of my
amen. Point.
I bet we wouldn't have people in the streets like we have right now with red hair and green hair.
We wouldn't be giving money to those Muslims, would we? We wouldn't be giving those leering sinners, right?
Or abortion. Stealing.
That's theft, abortion, boom, right? Abortion. And they coerce us and make us pay our taxes. And whether or not you believe it, I'm complicit in every abortion. Why am I complicit? Because I'm paying for it. So are you. So are you. And you're going to stand before the Lord, and he's going to say, wait, why'd you guys keep funding that? Why'd you keep funding that abortion? You're going to say, well, because I didn't know. You know, I didn't want to stand up, and, you know, I didn't want to make any waves, and I didn't want to go to jail. Oh, so you protected yourself and let him continue to murder babies. That's the conversation you're going to have with Jesus. Because greater love has no man than this. And he laid down his life for those babies. I'm going to flip Benham on here the next couple of days. We'll talk about laying down your life. Wow. Mary Beth and Jack. And then everybody shut up for a while because I want to get something else in there. Go ahead, Mary Beth. Mary, your hand's up. I didn't know if you wanted to be in or not.
If you could put up Ecclesiastes 11:8. I mean 8:11. So, Coach, that's you want to read that? And especially see,
here's the crap they pull on me. That's Old
this
Testament.
This is what you said, Coach. Oh, right. Right. So it says because
8:11. Spencer, are you out there, man? Can you pull that up there? Ecclesiastes 8:11.
Coach, you could just read that. 8:11 and 12.
Ecclesiastes 8.
11 through 13. It just shows your point, Coach, because I would have been dead long time ago for adultery. So I'm thankful that we don't hang for adultery, though, you know. But, yeah.
Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, people in jail for 30 years. Are you shitting me? Pardon me. Therefore, the heart of sons of men is fully set them to do evil. They don't care. Though a sinner do an evil 100 times, his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it is well with them that fear God, which fear before him. But it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days. What? Oh, y'all, which are a shadow, because he feareth not before God. Hang on, I got more of this stuff to get into this stuff, folks. Hang, come on in, Jack.
But Coach, one last thing. God takes liars. I mean, he killed liars in the Bible too, so you know, yes. there's good reason for it.
God hates all workers of iniquity. Iniquity is anything against his law. Go ahead, Jack.
Yeah, you can't trust the government because we're not in it. That's what we're gonna do is just retake that territory. And yep. if you've ever traveled to make your point, Coach, my wife and I both traveled extensively. She lived in Okinawa for quite a while in the early 80s. And the reason why nobody had locks on the doors was because people walked around without a hand, because if they got caught stealing, they had the hand chopped off. And it was pretty obvious. I'm not recommending that, but that was pretty obvious. In Grand Cayman, when I was in Grand Cayman, there was not a single house on that island that had a lock on a window or a lock on the door. One of the girls on one of the other ships stole a car in Georgetown, Grand Cayman. The island's 7 miles long. How far was she going to go? She went for a joyride. She got 3 years hard labor. I'm not talking about making license plate, busting rocks on a jetty with a sledgehammer. 3 years hard labor for stealing a car that she couldn't go anywhere with. What? But nobody had a lock on the door.
Amen. Amen. All right. Look, let me grab control of my show here again, okay? Because I want to throw some things up there that are really, really important here. So what does the point number eight, what does the Bible say about the death penalty? What's it say? Because we're Bible believers here, aren't we? We're Bible believers. See, we want mercy in front of justice. Mercy follows justice, right? The Old Testament law commanded the death penalty for various acts: murder, kidnapping, bestiality, adultery, homosexuality, being a false prophet, prostitution, and rape, and several other crimes. Death penalty. However, God often showed mercy when the death penalty was due. David committed adultery and murder, yet God did not demand his life be taken. Ultimately, every sin we commit should result in the death penalty, because the wages of sin is death. Thankfully, God demonstrates his love for us in not condemning us. Romans 5, verse 8. Okay, scroll on down. Now be careful, because it's going to get softy on us. When the Pharisees brought a woman who's caught in the act of adultery to Jesus and asked him if she should be stoned, Jesus said, if any of you is without sin, let him be the first to throw a stone at her. He didn't say, don't throw a stone at her. This should not be used to indicate that Jesus rejected capital punishment in all instances. Jesus was simply exposing the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. Don't punish what you do. The Pharisees wanted to trick Jesus into breaking the Old Testament law. They did not truly care about the woman being stoned. By the way, where was the man who was caught in adultery with her? God's the one who instituted capital punishment. Whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed. For in the image of God, he made man. Genesis 9, verse 6. Jesus would support capital punishment in some instances. Jesus also demonstrated grace when capital punishment was due. John 8:1-11. The Apostle Paul definitely recognized the power of government to institute capital punishment where appropriate. Romans 1:13. Pull that up there. Pull up Romans 1. I got it over here too, by the way. What's Romans? Let every person be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Right? Secondly, we must recognize that God has given government the authority to determine when capital punishment is due. It is unbiblical to claim that God opposes the death penalty in all instances. He let his own son be crucified. Christians should never rejoice when the death penalty is employed, but at the same time, Christians should not fight against the government right to execute the perpetrators of the worst crimes. If somebody were to rape, pick anybody up. If anybody in this queue were to get raped, who am I to say that that rape, we'll just forgive it. We'll just forgive it. How the hell can I forgive something that was done to somebody else? How can I do that? Justice. Justice. They did that. They deserve this. That's God's law. Go ahead, David.
So I'm with you. I'm just going to toss this out there because of my own plight, right?
Right.
But as one who was victimized and also was victimized and then became a victimizer. And so when one abuses another, there's a transference of demonic oppression. I always call it STDs, right? Sexually transmitted demons. So when that oppression causes one to do the same thing that was done to them, does that individual whose trauma response is demonically influenced. Does that individual deserve physical earthly death? And yeah, the wages of sin is death, but thank God those wages that are, they're not demanded upon the committing of the act, right? Because we're all guilty.
So David, here's how I would count. I would counter that. I'm not really countering it, right? I don't know about you guys. There's a lot of things I didn't do because I was afraid my dad was going to whoop my ass. Anybody say yes? But if my dad finds this out, oh my God. Well, let me tell you something. Daddy sees, right? Hey, daddy sees. You knew that was wrong, son. You knew that was wrong. I don't care how many demons got you. You knew that was wrong. And the reason people do what is wrong, because they ain't afraid.
Boom.
They ain't afraid anymore. Jesus is love, 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 just a love, 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 love. And you go out and you rape a little child and Jesus still loves you? Dudes, come on. What the hell's wrong with us? What's wrong with us?
Coach, can I interrupt just one more time, please? So in the Bible, though, people got killed for different reasons and there was different punishment for, like, you know, because God knows the heart. So people, like, killed somebody accidentally. They went to the, whatever that, you know, the towns we try to get illegal sanctuary. So there was different, you know, like with David, that's different. God knows that's different. But it's the people that murder in cold heart, like OJ.
There is, you know, no OJ fear of the Lord in the land. There is no fear of the Lord in the land. God is love. Jesus is love. Jesus loves everybody. And if you say we need some justice and judgment, the church will run you off.
Amen. That's what my niece said yesterday. You know, gee, what's the greatest commandment? They keep coming at me. Like, I was on that trip. I got so attacked, but God was right there every second. But it's Jesus is love. He's like, yeah, but he also hates, I said.
Amen. Romans 7. Pull it up there, Spence. It's good, isn't it? It's good. Let every soul be subject to the higher power, for there's no power but of God. And the powers that be ordained are of God. And whoever resists that power resists the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Let me ask you something. Are rulers a terror to evil today? Hell no, they promote it. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and people are going to praise you. For he is a minister of God to thee for good. But if you do that which is evil, dude, be afraid. You better be afraid if you do evil, or he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. That'll preach, wouldn't it? Won't that preach? Right? Why? Because the only way you can get justice, an eye for an eye and a tooth, the only way you can get justice, if somebody in authority says, all right, dude, you did it to them, you get the same damn thing. There's no fear of the Lord. There's no fear of it in the government. None of it. Okay? That's Romans 13. Hang on. Go to Romans 12 real quick. I got 7 minutes here. Romans 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, mercy of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy acceptable to God, which is reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind. And prove what is good. Come on, going down. Keep going. Huh? For I say, through the grace given unto you to every man that is among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to, but to think sober according to the wrath. For as many have one body, all members have not the same office. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone's another. Having then gifts differing according to the graces given to us, whether prophesy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, blah, 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 blah. Or he that exalteth and likes it. Look, I don't have time to get it. Pull that back out of there. The greatest love you can show is when someone has been murdered, you take the life of the person who did it. I'm sorry.
Yes. Yes.
That's the gospel. Folks, that is the gospel. Now, why doesn't it work in today? Because the government is corrupt. Because Christ has been removed from the government. And because there is no standard of right and wrong anymore, you're going to put, can I swear a minute, Betty? Can I swear a minute, Betty? You're going to go to court and you're going to get some dumbass liberal on the jury. Because we don't have They don't have the same values anymore. And jury selection is what? The lawyer wants to make that he gets some idiot on that trial to save his client, right? Come on. Because there's no standard of right and wrong anymore. And what they want to do when they do jury selection is they want to make sure that they get the most liberal, I'm okay, you're okay people that they can possibly get on. I'm telling you this, as God is my witness, I will never sit on a jury because they're going to boot me out. First question, but they're going to boot me out because they want to make sure sitting on that jury are non-judgmental sinners. Yes or no? See, we're supposed to go sit in front of a jury of our peers. Well, I'm going to tell you something. An atheist sitting on a jury ain't my peer. He ain't my peer. Sorry. He ain't my peer. In order for him to be a peer, my peer, he has to agree with what I agree with. He has to have the same value system that I have. Some Muslim ain't my peer. Some atheist ain't my peer. You understand, friends? So in other words, you can just sit on the jury, just a human being. There's your peer. Huh? Some guy living in a tent under the railroad. Go get him. He'd be your peer. Come on. But see, that's what they've done. Why have they done it? Because the church doesn't love justice and judgment. The Lord does. The Lord loves justice and judgment. He loves them both. How about that? Whew. I take a deep breath here. My wife's upstairs. She's going to say, honey, why were you yelling? I don't yell at her. I don't yell at most people, actually. Next. I got 4 minutes left. I can fill it or you can. Anybody, come on in. Who was that? Go ahead.
Hey, keep going.
Chad, hey Chad, I got 6 days more worth right here, right? I got 6 days more. Right? And can you believe if something were ever to happen to me and I go get on the trial, I'm on a jury of Christian men and women. Born again, spirit-filled Christian men and women as my peers. Some dude downstairs that goes bowling and gets drunk and drives home, he ain't my peer, folks. He ain't my peer. We don't have the same value system. I want somebody sitting on that jury that understands justice and judgment and mercy and grace. We don't get that. That's why we see the wicked rule. The wicked rule. And they said there was no religious test, no religious test to hold public office. That's why we got what we got in Congress. There is no religious test. By the way, religion, Spencer, pull that up there real quickly. Webster, what is religion? Hey, friends, come on, shake your head. Religion doesn't mean Christianity. It doesn't mean that. Religion, in its most comprehensive sense, includes a belief in the being and perfections of God and the revelation of his will to man and the man's obligation to obey his commands. That's religion. That's religion. Not Methodist, Lutheran, Baptist, Church of God and Christ Church. No. What? Man's obligation to obey his commands. States of reward and punishment and man's accountabilities. If you go to court, if you're going to be on a jury today and they find out you are a Christian, chances are pretty good. They're booting your ass off. That'd be a boom, Vinny. That'd be a boom. And so we end up going and sitting before ungodly people who are passing judgment over us. Quickly, Dr. Paul, come on in.
Scott Shira knows that best, right, Coach?
Yes, he does.
He did not get justice whatsoever because they threw the Christianity stuff at him. It was horrible.
I can promise you the guys sitting on the jury weren't Christians, not Bible believing Christians. No. So you're going to get
I wouldn't be. I wouldn't want to face God after I don't get justice here. Because when he goes up there, he's coming right back down.
Well, hey Paul, they don't want to give you justice either, do they? They don't want to give you justice. You think those courts aren't influenced by money and authority and people? Come on. Well, why has it happened? Because we threw God out of public schools and we have trained a bunch of quasi atheists. That's what we're doing. See you tomorrow.